I'm so happy to see each one of you this morning. It's wonderful to enjoy this beautiful summer and being able to come on the first day of the week and worship God. And it's great to be part of this family and to see one another on a regular basis like we do. And yes, I appreciate your song leading this morning. I know Ted wasn't here today, but you did a great job. Thank you. And I wanted to thank Chad for his prayer of making the application of the fig tree that we talked about in our Bible study to each one of our lives, and how that fig tree can represent your life and my life, and that patience of the vine dresser representing the ongoing work of God in each person's life, giving us more of the opportunity to turn our lives to submit to the will of God and bear fruit that God is seeking from us. So appreciate that, Chad, the way you put that in your prayer this morning. But we appreciate each one who's here. Thank you for all being here. And every single one of us is valuable. Everyone who is here is important. You know, in the New Testament, we see that many times the apostles, as they are writing by the inspiration of God, they talk about that there are commandments of one another that we are to observe, how we treat one another within the church, within the body of Christ. And I believe that when you study these, it's not really talking about how we treat outsiders in these passages. It's directing it to how we treat each other as brothers and sisters of Christ, and especially that in the local congregation as we work together. So in Romans chapter 12, we're going to look this morning at one of these commands to honor one another. To honor one another. And we find that here in Romans 12 and verses 9 and 10. And he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another." Now this is one of those verses where, depending on which translation you are using, it reads differently, and there may be a significant difference in the way that you're seeing it. And I'll point that out as we get a little further. But in the New King James, which is what I usually use here, this is how it reads, that in honor, giving preference to one another. And I think maybe if you're reading in the King James Version, it might say honoring one another, or outdoing one another in honor is how some of the translations word this. But it always comes back to teaching that we are to give honor to one another as fellow Christians. And I believe this is an important aspect that the Lord wants us to understand and appreciate and practice it within the church, is that we are to show honor to one another as fellow Christians. And what does it mean to honor? It's one of those things that is kind of an intangible way to describe what does that mean to honor someone. But it basically comes down to showing that we value them, that you value that person. And when we think about the honor that we are to show to one another, there are other commandments related to that that we see in other parts of the Bible that we might first think about that and how that is shown, and then carry that over to how do we honor one another as fellow Christians. For example, the Bible tells us to honor your father and mother. And I think most of us have given thought to that God wants us to honor our parents, and we try to do that. in our lives. And there's different ways that we honor our parents. Sometimes it might be in what you say to them or letting them know how much you love them. And other times it may be in the actions that we show. That it might not be actually telling them. It might be that way of going out of your way to call and see how they're doing, or just putting your arms around them, giving them a hug. There's many different ways, in other words, that we can show our parents that we honor them in our life. And it's very important. God taught that as one of the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and your mother as long as we live. That will bring a blessing from God if we will show the honor to our father and our mother in our life. We're also told in the book of 1 Peter that we are to honor all men and to love the brotherhood and to honor the king. So there's a certain honor that we give to our president, our elected officials. We recognize the respect of the office that they hold and the importance of what they are doing, and we pray for them. We're told to pray for them. And to appreciate and thank God for the freedoms and the blessings that we have. So there's different ways that honor is shown. The Bible says that you are to give honor to your wife as a husband. To honor your wife as the weaker vessel. And to show your love for her in a special way. And treat her in a special way. That God will bless you and hear your prayers. Well, we think about all of those different cross-references of honoring one another, and then we come back and we say, well, how do we honor one another then? Because it means letting that person know that they are valuable, how valuable they are. And we need to show that then to one another. It means to accord recognition to that person, to show appreciation, to estimate them in your own thinking that they are of value, and to be quick to acknowledge the accomplishments that they have, to demonstrate genuine love without jealousy, to show our admiration for their good qualities. There's a lot of ways then that we honor people, and that is how we are to honor each other as fellow Christians. So the bottom line is that we show each other that we are valuable, that you are valuable, that each one of you who is here today, you are valuable in the eyes of God. And one of the passages that we see that in, we're going to look at in a moment, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But it's possible that sometimes within the body of Christ, we fail to do this. Quite frankly, that this is an area that sometimes we need to work and improve, of showing each person that they are valuable. And it is possible that sometimes we might consider a member of the congregation as they are of very little value. And that would be wrong. That would be a tragedy if we ever come across that way, to show the indication of our actions to that person, we don't consider you to be of any great value. And one way that that might come across would be if that person suddenly doesn't show up for worship, or they just stop coming, and we act as if it's no big deal. We don't show any concern for that person. We act as if, well, good riddance, if that's the way they feel. And that would be so wrong of us if we showed any indication of that feeling to one another as a fellow Christian within the body of Christ. It ought to be the very opposite of that, that we value that person. They are important. And for them to stop attending or to leave the congregation, That's something that we would hate to see. We would try to reach out and make the effort to find out if there is a problem, that there's something we can do to encourage that person. So, showing value then, we would consider their beliefs. And I think this is another area where sometimes we fail and fall down on the job as fellow Christians, is that sometimes we might come across that we don't even consider that person's belief. Now, we might not always agree with one another. We might have a different understanding of a doctrinal position that we believe. Maybe we believe very strongly in a certain position. But if a person comes across and they express a different point of view, we should not act as if, well, that we're not even going to consider what you're saying. Your point of view is of no value. So we must not take that attitude as fellow Christians. We must be willing to at least listen and be open to that person is valuable. We value what they think and what they're understanding, how they feel about certain things. We always show an attitude that they are valuable, and that is one way that we express that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 21, we see an example here where the Apostle Paul is explaining how this works within the church, how it is supposed to work to honor one another. And he says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require." We can understand what he is saying in terms of our own physical bodies. That there are parts of our bodies that are less honorable, yet we bestow greater honor upon them. Now, use, for example, your foot, as he uses that example, that you cannot say to your foot, "I have no need of you," or to your toe. Have any of us ever had a hangnail or a bad pain in one of our feet or our toes? I mean, we can understand that that is important. It causes great pain. So what he is saying is that many times that part of the body that is less honorable, we bestow the greater honor upon them. Because we go down and what do? We buy the nicer, more expensive pair of shoes because we want to take care of our feet. And it's not because they are out there for everybody to look at, but we see the value of them, and we take care of them. That is how it should be within the church. There may be those within the church that are not as noticeable in a public sense, and yet they are more valuable. And God designed the church for that aspect. So he says in verse 24, "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." You see how that is supposed to function within the church. And that what it is actually saying is, we don't really go out of our way so much to honor those that appear to be more honorable. What we do is we go more out of the way to honor those that don't appear so noticeable. And God designed it that way so that there will be unity within the body. Now, if we will all have that attitude, that we will go out of our way to think of who is there here that needs to be shown extra honor, to let them know how valuable they are as part of the body, because we do not want to lose them. We need them. They contribute of a part that is vital to the well-being of us all. So we need to have an attitude of mind that's how we look at it. That we try to show honor to the less honorable part, because that is what God's plan is for the church, to be healthy and to be strong. As I said, when you look at this verse in Romans chapter 12, in the New King James Version it says, in honor giving preference to one another. But in the English Standard Version it says, outdo one another in showing honor. The NET Bible says, show eagerness to honor each other. But the Greek word behind this, it means to lead the way, to go before. So it actually is bringing out an aspect here where he does not just simply say to honor each other. What he says is outdo one and honor one another in showing honor. So it really is like competition in the best sense that is to be happening within the church, where we are trying to outdo each other in honoring those people that tend to be overlooked, that tend to be not noticed for what good they are doing and how they are helping and what they are able to contribute. So we give preference to one another in honor, meaning we go before one another. We prefer to show honor that way to every single person, that no one gets left behind, no one is overlooked in the church, because God wants everyone to see and watch out for each other. So lead the way in showing honor for one another, is what he is saying. Not that we put ourselves before others so that we will be noticed, but the other way around, that they will be noticed and that they will be appreciated. We lead the way in showing honor to them, that they are seen how valuable they are and how much of respect they deserve from each one of us. Now, I would like for us to think about how that would apply in the church here. How does that apply to us? How can we put that into practice? Because again, when you look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the way he says this, he says, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. So how can we apply that? How can we put that into practice here within the church? I will honor you, and you will honor me, and we will each honor each other in that way, because it is a commandment that requires reciprocating efforts on each other's part. We don't try to necessarily go to honor those that already receive honor, tend to receive honor. We show honor to those that don't receive honor otherwise. And we want to make sure that they do understand that they are valuable. We don't just show honor to those that are valuable to us. We show honor to those that are valuable in the eyes of God, whether we have a personal thing of they're valuable in a personal way to us or not. They're valuable to God, and they are valuable to the church. So we show them honor is the goal that we are seeking. Now, what is it that keeps us? What is it that prevents us from doing this? What holds us back? Because I believe that this is a difficult command in many different ways. It's a difficult command, and therefore it's one that we tend to overlook. Sometimes we fail to show this type of honor that needs to be. And the reason is because, number one, what are we each thinking? We're seeking our own glory and honor. And that is a natural tendency that we all have, that our number one concern is our own honor and glory. And the Lord is saying He wants for us to show honor to the other part that is lacking the honor, that is less honorable from the outward appearance, and yet they are very valuable. This is the same problem that the Pharisees that Jesus taught and dealt with many times in His day. They were concerned about their own honor. They would stand on the street corner. They would, as He says here in Matthew chapter 23, they love the best places at the feasts, the best seats in the synagogues. So you can picture them coming in to the synagogue and they have their seat already sort of picked out there. And it's interesting because I noticed Greg and Lori are not sitting in their seat this morning. And I was thinking about that when I got up here, and I think, I'm not sure I can do this because they aren't sitting where they're supposed to be sitting today. That just kind of messes everything up here for me. But what Jesus is saying is the Pharisees, they will come in and they will make sure they're sitting up here on the front seat, where everybody will notice them and think of how important they are, you see. It's a big thing, the way they would do this. Well, that's the problem. We have that same problem in our mind that keeps us from showing honor to the ones that need that. We are just thinking about ourselves. Many times, that's unfortunately the case. In Mark 12 and verse 39, the best seats in the synagogues, the best places at the feast. So He talks about this a lot. He told a parable about this in Luke chapter 14. It says, so He told a parable to those who were invited when He noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then He also said to them, him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What this is really indicating then is that when we practice this kind of honor that Jesus is teaching, and we go out of our way to show honor to the less honorable, the one that gets, no one else notices that person, and yet you go over and make the effort and show them how valuable they are, that God will remember that in the day of judgment. That is a quality that He is seeking, that is unselfish, that is loving, that is humble on your part. And that is the kind of person that God is seeking for us to be within His body of Christ. Now, there are areas where we can show this honor, and that we need to work on showing this honor. As it says there in 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, that we are to honor all people. We're to honor the king. We're to love the brotherhood. There is an honor and a respect that we have to every human being because they are made in the image of God. We need to remember that when we go shopping in the store or Whenever we are driving on the freeway or whatever it might be, we show honor to every person. And again, he says to honor your spouse, to honor your wife, because she is your wife and you are to honor her. The Bible says that marriage is honorable in the eyes of God. And we are to treat one another in a special way. We are to show this honor when we greet one another, when we come in to a service like we are doing today. Greet one another with a holy kiss is what the Bible actually says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. And we say, well, that was a custom of those days. We don't do that today. And yet, it is saying that we need to greet each other in a very affectionate way, to express that to one another. How glad we are to see you. I so appreciate you being here today. That means everything to be able to see you. And I appreciate you being here and making the effort and being a part in what you do to contribute to the work of the congregation here. That's important, that we express that to one another. We can express it verbally. We can express it with our actions. There's different ways that it can be done. Receiving each other without petty issues. Romans chapter 14, he talks about the fact that we should not be judging one another in areas that are judging areas or judgment. They're areas of expediency. Like which day of the week the observance of days, the eating of meats, those are things that you don't like to eat pork, you're vegetarian. That's not an issue as far as God is concerned. And so we need to not be binding those things with one another. And honoring the poor equally. James chapter 2, it talks about if a man comes in vile clothing and sits, and we say to him, well, you sit over there, and another man comes in with fine clothing, and we say, oh, well, you come up and sit up here. So we show preference and we show favoritism based on their wealth or the way they are dressed. Should not be. We should not act that way. Treat one another those ways. Imagine what the world would be like if we all practiced this. It would be a wonderful place. The world would be so much improved if we all practiced this. We can make the world a better place by doing what Jesus is teaching, by what God is saying. Honor your spouse. Honor one another. Go out the extra step to show that person you're valuable. We appreciate you. We don't tell you enough how much valuable you are and how much we appreciate all that you do to help us here with the congregation. So if we would all just practice that and express that in the best way that we know how, it would make things so much better. Thank you for all being here today. We appreciate each one of you. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected. And if there are any today that need to obey Jesus Christ and repent and be baptized into the Lord and commit your life to Him, which is a complete repentance and turning your life around to serve God and humble yourself before Him, we're going to stand and sing the invitation. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.